animal here on July 9th, 2014. You know, that music just turns me on from my regular life into my show life. And Jerry and I were on Rianne's show, which was good. I thought we did a good job for her. But she has relaxing music when you get into the show. And I just don't think it transforms you like you have to be transformed. And speaking of sound, that's what I want to talk about now. But the sound of your voice, not the sound of your music. There's a lawyer from Toronto who now lives in Santa Monica, apparently. His name is Earl Pomerantz. He used to be in a comedy team with Lorne Michaels, who runs Saturday Night Live. They're both from Toronto. Anyway, this guy Earl has a blog, and the other day he was talking about a play he went to see. It's a one-woman show by Annette Bening. You know, she's married to Warren Beatty, and she plays this real-life... Oh, boy, somebody just went by here. I don't know if you can hear all that noise. Anyway, she plays a witty woman who was popular in the 1920s, a playwright. And Earl said she did a very good job, but there was only one problem. Annette Bening, he says, is not funny. He says the audience was prepared to laugh, and you could tell there was a lot more laughs to be had from the material, but Annette just didn't hit the right notes. And that's because when it comes to comedy, she isn't a natural. Lily Tomlin, he says, could have done wonders with the same material, but Annette couldn't because she's a hard worker. She tries hard, but she doesn't have it in her. She doesn't have what he calls funny bones. That reminded me of an article that said some singers have a tear in their voices. They have a tear in their voices that lets them really draw on your emotions. And that seems to mean that the voice has a lot of emotional richness in it, a lot of, you know, fluctuating textures. I don't know what to call it, a lot of variations. And you don't expect what's going to happen, and that's what makes it interesting. And I think the same is true of a good conversationalist. One person has a voice that conveys a flow of emotions. Even if they're not loud, you can just feel something happen in there. And another person has a voice that sounds like a robot. Now, Annette Bening is a successful actress. I'm not saying she isn't. And someone who has a robot voice might be a successful recruiter. But I agree with Earl. There's naturals and there's hard workers, and they're not the same thing. Some people are like magic on the phone. They can say almost anything, and it sounds interesting, but other people are not compelling, no matter what they've been trained to say. And now, speaking of a voice with charisma, Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! Animal, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Welcome, thank you. Jerry.
What?
Jerry.
Animal?
I have to let everybody know, like every, I think all the people online know already.
Okay.
My guest canceled less than an hour ago.
In fact, oh, my goodness.
Yeah?
Big deal.
I didn't hear from her, and all of a sudden she says, oh, she's got a meeting that she has to go to.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah, uh-huh. So I said on Twitter, any other know-nothing millennials, they're welcome to come on and replace her, but I didn't get any bites. So we're just going to have a show like where we I'll ask the same questions, but we'll just discuss them ourselves. And, you know, if somebody did...
Okay.
This is everybody in the audience, all the callers. This is your chance to shine.
Somebody's already got us on speakerphone.
I don't hear it. I don't hear the speakerphone.
Seriously?
It's not me this time. I remembered to mute, so you can't hear me drinking my coffee.
It's Jeff Newman. He doesn't even have his voice near his phone. He's a mile away. He's not here. It's not him making
noise. You're telling me you don't hear that pink noise in the background?
It sounds like road noise.
Yeah, road noise. This must be my highly trained ear.
That's me.
I thought Mike was running the dishwasher.
I'm sitting beside an open window. I don't know if didn't you hear that motorcycle go by when I was doing my intro? It totally threw me. Anyway, let's move away from the sound.
It might be me. I'm calling from the road.
Yeah, okay. Let's not talk about the sound at the beginning this week. It's wrecking every show. Jerry, since we're not going to talk to the guests, Jerry's got a tip for recruiters that a friend of his gave him. Do you want me to tell everybody, Jerry, or do you want
to
tell
Why don't you, in your own magnificent phraseology, would you?
What's wrong with Jerry? He must be on drugs today. He's so nice. Anyway, Jerry said, this guy, Jerry's friend said that he...
My friend.
Yeah, friend, whoever it is.
Friend of mine. Stuff.
Before 7 a.m. or at 7 a.m. every morning, he goes through his list of current clients, the people who have job orders that he's working on, and he sends them all an email asking about the status of the search. What's with this guy? What's the interview time? What's going on? And then whoever replies, that's where he focuses his time for the rest of the day on those.
Brilliant. My friend is a genius.
And you've taken his advice. You're doing that. Is that right?
Yeah,
Jerry?
And I've got to say I like it. Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, what if you've got somebody replies, but they're just an idiot? I mean, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily the best person to work on. Isn't that possible?
It's possible, but, I mean, you've always got to sort it out with your own inclination and experience. I mean, I'm not saying whoever replies first, you spend all your time on there. I mean, it's just one good indicator of who's playing today, who's in the game with you.
Right. Okay.
Feedback is important. And let's start with who's giving you feedback.
Okay. Enough.
All right.
I'm going to give you a break there to say something. I want to ask you, there's a couple of things, though, that I would have asked my guest. She's 27 years old. She's got a graduate degree from Stanford University.
Ooh,
that's
the Cardinal.
School, right? So I was wondering if that helped her at all, the fact that it's famous. But, she doesn't have an IT degree from there. She's got a Master of Arts in East Asian Studies. Does anybody think that's going to help her in the business world?
That's so weird because I have two BAs, and that's one of my BAs. East Asian Foreign Politics.
Do you speak Japanese?
Arigato. And I'm done.
Okay, nobody's got an answer for that. Also, on her Twitter profile, just to show people what people do, she links, the web link on her Twitter profile is to her own Twitter profile. Eva, if you're listening to this show, you have to change that. Put it to your LinkedIn profile, okay? And who's ever eating chocolate in the background there, Jerry? Stop crinkling the paper, will ya?
It's not me, dude. I'm an expert at what I do, which is I sit here quietly and interject from time to time.
Okay. Now, I should point out that Rayanne, who was the guest last week, the first time she came on the show, she stood us up as well. I don't even think you were here, Jerry. She didn't show. And she's still friends with me. So, maybe for me and Eva Becker, the girl who was supposed to show up, maybe this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Could be.
I don't think so. Maybe not, okay? Who's in their kitchen making that noise? Come on!
That's just plain disrespectful to you, animal.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
Okay, now I was going to ask her, she's been in the business only a few months, but I was going to ask her if she's figured out yet, how do you make big money in the recruiting business? Have you figured out what it takes to be successful? She can't tell me. Does anybody else
I don't
have
want
a quick...
to derail you, but can we go back to Jerry's paradigm for 1 second?
Jerry's friend's paradigm.
Jerry's
adopted. I cannot take credit for it.
I'm 6 months in the industry. This is many years ago, and there was a very, very successful recruiter where I was working.
Yeah.
And I said to him,
hold on, I have to interrupt. Jeff, I'll let you talk, but I have to interrupt. I just got an email. I don't know, Pauline Rogers in Australia thinks that I look at my email during the show, which I don't usually do.
But you obviously do.
Well, it just happened. So she says, it's 13 hours ahead of us there or something. She said, I'm awake. I might call in on Skype. What's the number? I mean, do I have to give her the number? Doesn't she know where the where the show is located yet?
Give her the number. What? Give her the number. It's tomorrow.
Why
there.
Was that worth interrupting the gentleman's comments? I don't understand.
The gentleman. Okay. Well, I want to give her a break so she can call in if she wants.
Hey, I've determined who the pink noise is. It's Nahez.
Oh, he's in the kitchen in his office? Okay. Pauline.
It's you, Nahez. Come on, man.
Pauline, the number is 646. Hold on. 646.
652. 2754.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you.
Tell Nahez to stop with the pink noise, man.
What's pink noise?
Jerry, I'm muted. I am muted when you're screaming and yelling about me.
However,
I have my phone
listen to
on
me.
Mute.
When you're talking, the pink noise is gone. When you're done talking and you hit whatever button you've got there, it comes back. That's all I'm saying. Right there.
Don't mute yourself, Nahez.
Right there. Hear it?
I just I muted myself for another minute.
I don't hear it. I don't hear it. You know what? I'll
then, dude, your ears are dead.
I don't hear it either.
Okay, look, Jerry. Jerry never hears it when I hear it. Let Jeff Newman finish, okay?
So all I was saying was to me, so I'm 6 months in the business, and I asked this guy, Jim, you know, what's the secret to your success? And he said, no matter what anybody tells you to do, no matter what you hear, only work on what you can place. And I think the way Jerry summed it, it's basically the same advice. If you don't think you're going to make the placement, don't put your time into it. That was it.
Absolutely.
Only work on what you can place, and you'll be more successful than trying to work on everything all at once.
Okay.
Yeah, and so a good indicator of where should I spend my time is who's giving you feedback? Which customer can you say, hey, what's going on, or have a few questions about the position? Can you clarify this? When they give you feedback, they're showing you, hey, work with me. Spend your time with me. That's just a simple thought. I mean, it's not rocket surgery, you know.
Rocket surgery, yeah. Jeff Newman. Jeff, still there?
I'm here.
Okay, but you know, isn't that what people hate about contingent? You know, you Jeff has an hour and a half YouTube video just dissing contingent recruiters, telling all these IT guys how awful they are. And one of the things that people hate about from the client side about contingent recruiters is they give them an order and then they don't work it. So what Jeff is advising people to do, and I think he's right, but that's what one of the beefs that people have about us is that we don't work their orders. No comment? Okay.
I agree. There's enough people who have that shadiness to them that they give the ones of us who are up front no BS a bad rap.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. And I was you were talking about triaging or prioritizing your orders, right? Okay. Anyway, okay. Great. Okay, so I was going to ask her if she makes the same number of calls every day, because everyone here says that's not necessary, or we're divided on that, right? The regulars here are split on that, right?
As far as number of calls?
Yeah. You know, like some people say, oh, you know, why should I make the same number of calls every day? I just, you know, I follow the needs of the business, right?
Yeah.
I think in the beginning of your career, you have to watch your call volume because your calls aren't as targeted. And as you grow in being able to identify candidates based just on their paperwork, your call volume will drop. I also think in the last 2 or 3 years, maybe more, calling is a quote-unquote, I would count, that you have to make a certain amount of attempts at contact. That can be a phone, an email, a text, a tweet, I don't know, smoke signals, but it's an attempt at contact as opposed to the way the phone call was when we were using, you know, index folders and
whatnot. Got it. Moving quickly. Next question. This is like everything's going to be a lightning round because there's no guest to answer the questions.
Lightning round. Awesome.
Yeah. This is a quote from Mark Babbitt, the U-turn guy, the guy from U-turn. anyway, he says, I've hired thousands of candidates using traditional methods. Thousands of candidates using traditional methods. You just
That's a
had
lot.
To, yeah, you just had to
Does
hope.
Does that include Twitter?
Listen to this. You just had to hope that your instincts were correct. But with social media, we get a glimpse into what that person might really be like even before we contact them.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No,
anybody
no
else?
Way. We put on a face to meet the faces we meet. Everybody's wearing a mask from social media to the interview.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I looked this girl who's supposed to be the guest today. I found her Facebook page, and I looked her up. And, you know, in one, she's wearing a bikini. In another, she's wearing, a sports bra made out of leather with her arm slung around a guy's neck and kind of a tough
can,
girl
can
face.
Can you link that for us? For science. For science, I need to think.
I posted it on the Recruiters Online group. You can find it there. But, I mean, what does that tell me about her? I really still don't feel like I know anything about her. I saw that she went to Stanford, as I said, and that she took East Asian Fine Arts. But do I know anything about her, really? I mean...
Not really.
You can draw some assumptions.
What's that, Michael Cox?
I was going to say, you can draw some assumptions.
Like
clearly,
what?
She's
what,
not
what
a... Like she's not a mother of two children in grade school. But the fact is that even those assumptions don't carry very much weight
mm-hmm.
with regards to actual performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe she likes a good time. It looks like that. There's another one with her and another girl in shades and stuff, and they're holding up, I don't know if they're beer steins or you know, Diet Coke, really. I don't know, but she looks like the picture she puts up. What?
If that matches well with the company where you are placing her, then maybe you've learned
yeah, but
something.
Is there anything I described? I described her liveliest pictures. Is there anything there that would suggest she's not suitable for any company?
No. And extrapolate that, oh, my God, no, we can't hire this person.
Because she wears a bikini? Yeah, why?
Because
she wears a bikini on the beach?
No, because you need a more holistic view that includes everything from whatever you can find online, whether it be Twitter or LinkedIn or, to the resume, to the interview. Everything is just one factor, one point.
Yeah, okay, well, I think you just said the thing is she's not at home taking care of the kids. That's all I know. Here's another one. This girl, Karen Owen, she was famous. She wrote a report on all the guys she slept with at university. I don't know if you've seen it online. She went into detail. No, she slept with about 20 guys while she was at school, and she went into detail. There's pictures of them. She talks all about the details of their bodies, what their personalities are like, and what her sex was like with them. Would you hire somebody like that? Is that she sent it to her girlfriends, and somebody posted it online, and it went viral. So I know something about Karen Owen that I wouldn't know about most people. Does it say anything about her capacity to work?
Yeah, it says she doesn't have any common sense that she would put something like that in writing.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
That is stupid.
Is that Harry?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
What? She sent it to her girlfriend. I mean, really.
I know, but, like, suppose I was a racist, which I'm not, but suppose I was a racist, and I had, you know, horrible racist thoughts running around in my head, you know? Is that something that I would want to send in an email to anybody? A text? I don't think so. Right? Suppose I slept with 50 women, which I haven't, but suppose I did. Would I text that to anybody? I don't think so.
She didn't text it. This is like a dossier.
I get it. Well, so that's just stupid.
Guys.
So
she's an idiot.
Who would hire a person with no common sense? That just shows that the lady's devoid of good judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, though, here's the thing. She didn't put that online. That's different from... You know, the girl we're talking about who put pictures of herself with her friends online.
I understand,
those are two
but
different
she,
things.
You know, she wrote it down, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then that's just kind of dumb.
Are you guys describing the same exact example of the guy that owned the Clippers? Wasn't it his mistress that
taped
him
yeah,
without him
right.
knowing and then
yeah.
broadcasted it? And, you know, in that particular case, I guess it was pretty well documented that the guy was a creep anyway. But it made it a lot more prevalent in 2014 when his girlfriend, you know, sold it to whatever, TMZ or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that these indiscretions online are going to become less and less important as the millennials and the generation after and after start getting up, because you're going to reach a point where everyone has had the picture of them popping the bong or saying something vaguely on the line.
That's
not true.
We have
to differentiate between someone posting a picture of them topless in Monaco and someone...
Somebody disagrees with you, Jeff.
You know what?
That's not true.
Jeff, when those millennials grow up and become...
Look at the way tattoos and having tattoos, as long as they're not, you know, like your face tattooed like a tiger. But look at how the tattoos and our opinion of them have changed for business roles. I'm still not going to send you into bargaining if you got a half sleeve, but I'll send you other places where when I started in 98, I wouldn't have.
Okay, hang on for a second. Here's the thing. When that person that posted that lovely sexual dossier becomes the boss, he's going to have responsibility. I can't hear anything.
We can hear you. Keep going.
Barely.
Okay, well, when she becomes the boss and actually has to make hiring decisions, the fact that she did it in the past is going to... That doesn't change the fact that she's going to have real responsibilities to an organization. And because she did it in the past doesn't mean that she's going to say, it's okay for anybody that I hire. Her level of responsibility will change and thus... kind of dictate that she has to look at that differently. I mean,
I don't understand what he's saying. Usually we talk sense, but I don't understand a word you said.
Yeah, that sounds like a hypocrite to me. We've all made mistakes. You have to forgive people.
Yeah, we've all made mistakes, but I got drunk and fell asleep at the wheel, let's say. But that doesn't mean that now when I'm a hiring manager, I'm going to be okay with somebody that has 4 DUIs.
Oh, okay. Here's an example. Hold on. Here's an example. Toronto's Mayor Ford, he can't make a move without someone videotaping him. Every dumb thing he does shows up online. We've got there's an election for mayor going on right now. Hasn't happened to anybody else. So while I tend to agree with Jeff, and I wrote about it years ago already, that sooner or later everybody's going to have pictures, embarrassing pictures of themselves that other people posted. The same thing is, if you do dumber stuff, you're going to have a lot more of them than everybody else. Because, I mean, when this guy is smoking crack or getting drunk, somebody reports it. And not only that, you could see it yourself. That's the thing. So let me move on, okay?
It's not a fine line between Rob Ford and a girl at 19 who sent her boyfriend pictures of her boobs that suddenly came out at 27. It's a huge difference, a huge gap between a Kardashian videotape and a vaguely offensive thing that started, I'm not racist, but, and you know whatever's coming next is going to be racist. There's lines.
Okay. There are lines, but the person that sexted 10, 15 years ago is going to be a bit biased against the person that she's looking at hiring today and that's doing that today.
Okay, maybe. Let's move on.
All right.
Video interviews. Jerry commented. Jerry had a good tweet that, I don't know, what did it say? That said 63%. There was a tweet that said 63%.
I can't remember all my good tweets, Animal. Everyone's a...
70% of companies are using video interviews. Jerry said that's an absolute lie. And I
of course it
right.
is.
Anybody got an opinion about that? Anybody know anyone who's doing?
I've
Harry.
Been an e-commerce. I've been an e-commerce recruiter 10 years. I think I've arranged maybe one. Well, let's not one. Let's say less than 5 Skype send-outs the entire time.
Mm-hmm. That's the only stat we need right there. Case closed.
He's high volume. Harry gets a lot of people interviewed every year, right?
Yeah, and they're all, you know, really they're e-commerce people, right? So they're all about the technology. But I think it's weird, you know, when you do Skype stuff, it seems that the conversation seems like it's less about the ideas and more about the appearance and the mannerisms of the person. I mean, I think it's useful to know if the person has a decent command presence, but the first couple of conversations that I have with people, I always prefer phone because I just want to, I don't care who they are. They could be black, white, man, woman, RuPaul, I don't care. I just want to know if they have good ideas. And
I
think you can do that
thing.
On the phone a lot more.
I like the RuPaul option, man, woman, or RuPaul.
There you go.
I was afraid that going video interviewing would interfere with my judgment because we make unconscious opinions and whatnot. And then I started going, and I can't go back to doing a regular phone interview. And I think maybe it's microfacial features, maybe it's something else, but my video interviews through Google Hangout or Skype are more effective, especially for first-round screens, than I found my phone screens were.
But the original...
And I can't tell you why. I've never been able to... and I've tried to articulate it and write it down and figure out why they just... I'm getting a better feel for the candidates with a video screen.
Yeah, the
it's a different medium. You can definitely learn different things about a candidate depending on the medium. For sure, there's a time and a place for a Skype interview. And there's a time, you know, there are times when I would prefer a Skype interview.
The context of the tweet wasn't whether video interviews are good or bad or effective. It was 6 out of 10 companies use video interviewing now, which is an outright falsehood.
I that sounds really high to me, yeah.
Sounds well, like I think all, statistics always depend on what's being checked. If you're talking about 6 out of 10 companies, that being, has General Electric ever had a video interview, then the answer is yes. Does General Electric video interview 70% of their candidates? The obvious answer is no, correct?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I want to get back into this conversation. The follow-up on this, I think we all agree that 6 out of 10 companies don't, on a regular basis, a video interview. But my fear, and I want to be out of this industry by the time this takes hold, okay?
I think you're well on your way.
Well, thank you very much. But there used to be a day and age when you know, it costs a lot of money to hop on an airplane and fly somewhere. Now it's just a matter of course that, you know, everybody flies around. The train has left the station. Video interviewing is on its way. We actually in our office, probably somewhere near the 40% to 50%. Of interviewing starts with the first interview being a phone interview, okay? And they're phone interviews. However, I believe that in the future, when the technology's that prevalent, it will, you know, convert over to video interviewing. And the problem with that is that so much now is the visual of what we see out there, and especially like the millennials and stuff, the millennials can't watch a movie from the 1970s without, or earlier, without being disgusted by the lack of, you know, cinematography and all that, because it's not polished like the movies and the commercials are today. So that expectation of looking perfect, and look at how the millennials are perfecting themselves, the whole concept of the selfie, right? You know,
you're losing me. Hold on. Steve.
Yeah, I'm gone.
You know what I like?
All right,
I like
video interviews.
Let me take charge. I like when he said the train has left the station. He might be right, but right now I want to hear Harry about what he gets out of the phone interview, because I think everybody here except Jeff Newman seem to like working on the phone.
It's a different medium. Okay, so that's all. Just different mediums are there's
you're not
a difference.
Distracted. You're not distracted by the visuals. It sounds like
to me. You know, frankly, I am, because on a phone
I don't
have to make eye contact on a phone call, which is fine. I'm taking notes and I'm not looking at the screen, and I'm mostly it's taking notes. I'm taking dictation. I'm pulling stuff out of books and stuff around my office to ask a candidate, about a particular concept or whatever, and I've got stuff to do during an interview. It's there's a process for me, and so a Skype call for me. This sounds terrible, but let's just call a spade a spade. It's for me to see if, how the candidate looks. Do they look appropriate for the role?
Yep.
I've done a few Skype conversations. I don't know if I'd call them interviews, but. And it seems like the beginning of each one of those is always about, hey, is your thing working? Can you hear me? Turn up your volume. Turn down your speaker. And you spend the whole time solving some technical problem with the other person, more so than just jumping right into it and establishing that rapport and connection. But this HireVue stuff, and that was the stat, was from HireVue using video interviewing. HireVue is not a video interview. It's a one-way recording of a person's answers to a question. So it's not even an interview. Just kind of a little side point there.
Yeah,
like a video cover letter.
Right,
yeah,
right. So it's
it.
not even a video interview. I don't know why they advertise it as such.
It's
an
like
interview is a two-way conversation.
Or something. Right, you point a camera at yourself and you say, "Hi, this is Harry, and I'm a Scorpio, and whatever." And it's—I don't know this for a fact. How long is a HireVue snippet? 2 minutes, probably.
Yeah, couple minutes. They answer several questions, and you can go through tabs and click on it.
Yeah, like why do people need to see me answer the question? Why can't they just read my answer to the question? And the answer is because they want to know how I look, because they want to discriminate based on whether I'm handsome or ugly or old or young or have gray hair or black hair or whatever.
Oop, just got an update. AC/DC's new album is finished. All right. Okay, back to the show.
I thought, didn't Malcolm Young have a stroke or something?
Yeah, he's being replaced, I believe, by Angus's nephew on tour coming up.
Mm.
I could fill in on that role perfectly.
Angus. He's finished.
Who is?
Yeah, okay, let's go back
Malcolm?
To the show. Yeah, that's after show talk. Let's get back to the
There is no after show today. This is it. It's a free-for-all.
Okay. I want to go to Nahez's problem. Nahez turned down a retainer. You still there, Steve? Steve and Nahez, are you there? He signed off
yes.
already.
He bailed, so let's bash him.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
you know what? If Jerry doesn't want to talk about this, I'm not talking about it.
No, I want to talk about it.
Jerry dictates the show? I told you I want to talk about it.
I may influence the tone, obviously, but I certainly am not in charge.
Whatever.
I love you, Nahez.
Steve, are you there?
Come on,
you don't want to talk. Are you there? I don't have to talk about it either. If you want, you told me you wanted to talk about it. Do you want to talk
about
it?
I'm
here,
man. I am ready to go.
Okay. So I don't get your problem anyway. This old client of yours calls up and says, I want you to do this search for me. I'll give you 50% of the fee up front as a retainer. But in fact, the problem is there used to be 6 companies in the Detroit area that did this business. Now there's only this company, your client, and one other company. Is that what I understand? Or there's this client and 2 other companies, something like that. So the talent pool has shrunk. And so you told this guy, no way. And so then, I can't remember, they pressed with you. So you said, okay, if you raise the money and give them a better title, I'll work on the job. And they're going to do that with you. Is that right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, some sketch. Yep, you got it.
Okay, so what's the lesson there that you wanted to teach us? I missed it.
Because on that particular Facebook page, which I can't remember the exact name of it.
Recruiters Who Actually Make Placements. It's a closed group. So
yeah, okay,
you're free to talk.
Come on, keep the flow going. Don't bore my
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thanks for helping out there, Chair. And so anyway, there's often discussions on.
Can you put your mouth near the phone, Steve?
Yes. Hold on one second.
Guys,
that did sound better.
Lunch.
And also, right. Can we clarify something? Do you prefer Steve or Steven?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Who knows who we're talking to?
You don't even care.
Nahez.
That's
fine too.
Okay. I'll call him Nahez, just like Jerry does. Nahez, do you want to talk about this or do you want to wreck my show?
My crusade on that particular group called
My crusade is to try to demonstrate
that there is no such thing as a cookie-cut approach to recruiting universally in every single industry, which what we often find in that group is that people try to transpose what works best in their industry specialty and try to transpose that onto other people, other recruiters that work in different industries.
Louder!
I'm on an iPhone. Dude, I got a great connection. Okay, so my point with that particular case was that the market has changed, and accepting a simple retainer deal was not going to solve the company's problem. It would solve the problem of getting money quickly from a job search, but it won't actually help solve the problem of filling the position because the competitors went from seven companies.
Yeah, I explained that already. Can you get to the point? You're killing me here.
The point was interacting with the client to push them to come up with a more creative solution to fill their position.
Listen to me. The only creative solution would have been to broaden the specs for the job. There wasn't any companies doing that kind of work anymore. You didn't have the kind of talent pool that you wanted, so you had to have. They had to take people outside of the field. That's the only thing.
They can't. They cannot.
Then you're screwed.
In that particular case, they cannot. It's like if somebody's in the banking industry and their client needs a bank manager.
No, you're boring me.
I'm going to keep talking. As a recruiter, I bring them forward a grocery store manager, and I say, hey, look, it's the same thing. And they're like, no, we're in the banking industry. We don't need a grocery store manager. That's what this particular case is. They need a bank manager, period.
You know what? Let me move
on. So how are they
going to
do it?
I promise I'll come back to you. Jerry, he posted on that same group, said, dear customer, I don't have any way to determine whether a person is an A candidate or a B candidate. So rather than pretend I'm qualified, I'm just going to introduce the candidates that seem to have a strong understanding of the job. What he's saying is that he can't tell a good candidate from a bad one.
No, that's not. That's an outright mischaracterization. I can't, with certainty, tell who my customer is going to think is an A candidate versus a B candidate. Because a lot of that stuff is group interaction, it's eye contact during the interview, it's how they interview. So I do know when someone's a lame candidate and they don't get in. So stop your bold-faced lies, animal.
Well, look, I just read what you said.
No, you didn't. You didn't quote me.
And look, Mike Raymer says that he can tell an A candidate from a B candidate, and he gave his way of doing it. The A candidate, for instance, just like Steve was talking about, Nahez said, it comes from inside the industry. The B candidate can do the job, but comes from outside the industry. Also,
he also then admitted that he sends in B candidates as well.
Yeah, he does.
Well, why would you do that if you only place A candidates?
He said it was a B+.
B+. I see. Not a B-.
Okay, but you said you can't even tell an A from a B, okay?
Well, I really can't. No, I can't. Absolutely not. How many times, dude, have you, and this, we're going to have to go back to back when you were in recruiting. How many times did you send a candidate in knowing that this dude is a star? He is dynamite. The guy gets out of the interview and he says, dude, animal, I nailed it, brother. I got that. The customer calls you up and says, where did you get that douchebag? It happens. We don't know who the A candidate is. Quit stroking yourself. You don't know. Stop the lies.
Is Harry still here? Harry.
Yeah, I'm here. I've got a client kickoff call in 20 minutes, so I'm gonna bust a move here in a second.
I just want you to comment on what Jerry said. Can you tell your A candidates from your B candidates?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you tell? Give us an example.
No, did he say yes or no?
Said yes.
Yeah, I can.
How?
I mean, it's my job. It's what's your job if not to tell A players from B players?
Wrong. I disagree with that.
No.
Disagree.
You're kidding yourself. I mean, listen, here's the thing.
I think you're lumping your A's and B's all in with A.
That's right. Not true. Trust me, I know. Right? And here's the thing. If I manage to submit a B candidate, my client just doesn't hire them, and I've wasted my time and my client's time and the candidate's time. Right? Gunslingers don't get paid by the bullet. I'm an agency recruiter. It's my job to know who the A players are.
Yeah,
we're
drinking our own Kool-Aid on that.
There's one question that I will ask myself as I'm interviewing the candidate, and it's the question has never failed me. And here's the one question, right? The next time you're interviewing a candidate, ask yourself, if I were in that person's business, how would I like to compete with that candidate? That's the one question. How would I like to compete with that candidate? So are they business-oriented? Do they understand cost drivers? Do they understand revenue drivers? Can they manage, people and processes?
Yeah,
and
then that's more a characteristic of your marketplace then, because in IT, that question wouldn't really have any bearing.
I think it does. I mean, we're doing an IT search right now.
And you ask yourself, how would you compete with a software developer?
Would I want to hire this person with my own money? That's another way of coming at the issue. You know, do they sound like they're going to proactively, solve problems?
Sure, yeah. And I believe
some
plenty
people
of
just
B
don't
players
give a
do
shit.
Solve
I mean, that's what it all boils down to, right? Most people just don't give a shit about their job. They're just fucking phoning it in.
Yeah, we sort those people out.
Well, okay, so that's your job. And it's also your job to separate the A-plus players from the A-players.
That's what Barbara would do.
That's what anybody who's a really good recruiter would do. That's what you get paid to do.
I got a story there. We sent in a guy for, I don't know, VP or director of HR in a huge company. This guy was kind of young, but once he got in there, they loved him. I knew on the phone. I just knew this guy was fantastic. They offered him more money than they said they were willing to pay. In order to get the guy, he decided he wanted to stay with his own company. So they took the next guy, who was like a B+. So we placed the B+ guy instead of the A guy. But I certainly knew which was which, and so did they. Anyway.
Well, clients are going to do what clients are going to do. There's an old saying in the recruiting business, that A players hire A players and B players hire C players. Right, and so I've actually seen my clients hire the second best candidate. I mean,
I don't
want to say it happens all the time, but it happens.
Unfortunately,
there's nothing I can do about that.
Why did it happen in that case?
You broke up. What was the question?
Why did it happen? You said you've seen a client hire somebody who was clearly the second-rate candidate. I've seen it, too.
Because the hiring manager was a weak sister. That's why they were afraid.
They were afraid?
The candidate was really, really good. Sometimes a candidate will apply and they're overqualified. We've all seen this happen. And you might say, well, if they're so highly qualified, why would they apply? And it's like, well, there's no accounting for why somebody needs to stay in the same state. So, for example, I'm an e-commerce recruiter. So let's take, for example, Phoenix, Arizona. There's two companies in Phoenix, Arizona, Sierra Trading Post and PetSmart. Those are the only two e-com companies out in Phoenix, Arizona. I think SkyMalt out there, but they're sort of a marginal. So, but the two or three companies tops. And occasionally there will be a VP-level candidate whose mom's got Alzheimer's, or they've got a kid who's special needs and needs to stay in the same school or whatever, and the guy just can't relocate. And so he'll just take, like, you know, the best available e-commerce job in that city. And he'd go in and interview, and could he do the job? Heck yeah, you know. But invariably the client will say, well, the guy's wheel is too big for a wagon or whatever. Well, that's okay. What you're basically saying is that, you know, you don't want somebody who's as good as you are in the role. Now, do I blame him for saying that? Not always. But that is one vivid example where a highly qualified candidate doesn't get the job. And I see that kind of stuff happen, you know, all the time. Recruiting is a little bit like being a baseball commentator. You know, somebody like Bob Costas, he'd watch a million baseball games, right? And baseball games are all the same, but they're all different, you know? And so we'll handle 200 e-commerce searches this year. It's a phenomenal volume of business, and they're all the same, and they're all different. But there's a range of outcomes. You know,
I'm losing you. I don't know what you're talking about anymore, okay? I got that. That's another question, though, that anybody might want to talk about, especially somebody like Mike Cox, who's on the inside. It's true. Sometimes the hiring manager goes for the second-best person, or not even the second-best, and you can warn them, don't take this guy. I think you've got somebody better there, and they won't follow your advice. Mike Cox, still with us? No. Anybody else want to comment on that? They don't follow your advice, and they take the lesser candidate.
Yeah, it happens. Listen, guys, I got
to
go. Thanks very much
okay.
for having me. Animal, I'm sorry you got stood up by the fancy pants.
You're better than her. You're better than her. I got to talk to Harry Joyner. Come on.
Well, Jerry's better than that. Jerry, you're awesome.
Okay.
I'm sorry we didn't talk more about ACD. That would have been more interesting.
Yeah, man. Rock on.
Talk to you later. Bye, later.
Bye, friends.
Who's still
See
left?
Around.
Bye, Hare. Who's still left here? Who's
I'm
left?
Barely hanging on. I got stuff piling up on me.
Okay, you go, Jerry. I can handle the rest of the show with
you. I just have to go.
Hello?
There's a bunch
Bye.
Of new people Did here.
Sleep
oh, so hold on. I got
Sydney is still here.
Hey, look who's here.
Hello.
Hi. So what do you want to tell
hey,
us?
Hey, Animal, this is Mike. I was muted for a while.
But I can't talk to you now because I've got someone from Sydney who's here for the first time. Okay, let me ask both of you this question. I'll ask both of you. I was just asking Harry. Sometimes you've got multiple candidates. The hiring manager takes the lesser candidate. And the recruiter can tell him or her, don't take that guy. Take this one instead. And they don't listen to you. Mike Cox, have you had an experience like that?
Absolutely, and almost constantly.
Why does it happen?
Everybody thinks that they trust you. Have this either in the recruiting industry or when you're recruiting for somebody that is a sales manager. They all think they're recruiters, and everybody can be a recruiter. And it's like it's not science; it's just a gut feeling at every turn. So sometimes sales manager will stay just completely focused on the fact that this guy is a former basketball player, and that equates to I was a former basketball player, and I'm very successful. So,
they're hiring in their own image. Hiring. Okay, let me go to Pauline. Pauline Rogers from Sydney, first time caller, regular listener. Have you ever had that happen to you?
No, because my model is a bit different, that I only put forward candidates that I'm really happy to get the job. Simple as that.
What?
So I'm happy to – I only put forward candidates that I'm happy to get the job. So I never have that problem.
No, no.
I only put forward
– You're missing the question.
Qualified candidates.
And you have your – if you have your favorite one in that group and you think that person is going to be more successful – I can appreciate that I only put forward the candidates that I know will do the job, but in that group, you're going to have one that you feel is better, and they go with your number two option.
Yeah, but I don't really care about that, because if you put forward people you know can do the job, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. I mean, I'm sometimes disappointed because I've got a favourite, but I still get to send the invoice and the person works out. So it's all fine at the end of the day. And you can't play God.
I don't know. My experience is different. Sometimes I don't think they can all do the job that well. Some of them are going to really shine. Some of them
well,
are going to really shine.
Well, I don't support people who can't do the job. Yeah, but I don't put forward people who can't do the job. That's my model, that I only deliver to clients, candidates who can do the job.
Okay.
And what if somebody else gets the placement? Let's say there's another organization that puts somebody forward, and they get the placement, even though your candidate is better.
You don't have any control of that. I mean, that's another story. That's another story entirely. I mean, these are both your own. This way, the person, if you're talking to the hiring manager, he or she knows you're going to make money no matter who he or she hires, and yet you're advising them to hire one of them. I had a case, I've talked about it before because it sticks out of my mind all the time. We had a really soft-spoken guy from Sri Lanka be an IT project manager in a lumber company, and he took a guy who I didn't like personally, who I won't even say how he got into the mix, but he said, this is a tougher guy, I need someone with a tough personality to deal with this kind of crew, this other guy's going to get eaten alive. I knew it wasn't true, but I couldn't influence him. He took the guy and he didn't last, but then it looked bad for me. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Paul.
So why did you put that guy forward if you didn't think he would last and he wasn't right?
Well, what happened was I talked to him about the position. I decided he wasn't any good, but he said that his wife already had his resume and she worked next door to the company and she took it in, right? So I had no choice. It was a terrible situation. Okay, so I've got you on for like 10 more minutes. This isn't your guest shot. You're going to call in as a guest sometime. But is there something that you've heard on the show, you've been listening for a few months, is there something that has bugged you or that you felt, if I was on the call, I would correct that, what that idiot is saying? That you want to, this is your chance.
Oh, no.
Even the score.
No? You do realize it's 2:51 a.m. here.
Okay, I'll let you listen, okay? It's nice to hear your voice. Let me see if there's anything else that we should talk about. Relocation. Does anybody have a very successful relo? I've always lose out when there's a relocation. It's always a bad thing for me. Anybody on the call who's good at that? No? Okay. There's still a lot of people on the call.
Melissa.
Pardon me? Who's
it's
that?
Melissa. I've reloaded people. Adamo, Laverne.
Oh, yeah, okay. Melissa Adamo, our new friend. So can you tell us what's the key to it for you? I mean, like, how do you make it happen?
I think the key to a good reload is you've got to have the company put in, here's what my best advice is, put in a flat dollar amount. Because you start getting into semantics of, I want to ship my grand piano, I have two cars, what about my kid's little red wagon? The best bet for a relo is having the company commit to a dollar amount. They send the check and they spend it however they want.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, I had a guy who I had to relo from North Carolina up to New York. And he came out with his list of things, and then his wife wanted to get on the phone. And she had a list of other things that included literally a baby grand piano. And the company was like, what are you, out of your mind? I'm not responsible for this. So we ended up saying, let's do. And he was a pretty senior guy, and it ended up being like an extra $25,000. But we kind of wrote him the check, and it went contractually. And he got to do whatever he wanted. Pull your own band, piano.
Yeah, you guys are calling on the worst phones. Like, I can barely hear you.
That's not me. It's not me. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
I can hear everybody perfect.
Okay. Anyway, here's what I heard. This is I got a new angle on this. I had a friend. I have a friend. He talked to the guy. I can't remember if they agreed on like $5,000 or $10,000. Must have been $10,000 to relocate from Los Angeles to Boston or something like that. And then at the last, and his wife lived somewhere else, I think in Vancouver, and they had to move her house too. So they at the last minute, instead he asked for $5,000 more, and the company wouldn't come up with it. So the recruiter said to the company, "Look, we'll split that $5,000." So they took he cut $2,500 from his fee, and it all worked. I thought that was a pretty good way to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, we've done things on the agency side as much as covering some of it. You know, if the company's only giving five, we, you know, match the other five out of the fee or whatever the case may be. I mean, at the end of the day, right? I think somebody said it earlier, our friend from Australia. I get send the invoice and I want the check. So if I have to, you know, spend an extra $2,000-$3,000 to get the bigger check, why wouldn't I?
Uh-huh. I think the bigger issue, though, is just getting people to relocate, period. Because all the time during the search, you never know when they're going to get cold feet or somebody in their family is going to change their mind and cop out. I think that's like
because I think you're not going to take, you know, the mother of two who's married and decide to relocate her. I think you have a very small demographic of people that will say they'll relocate and then actually do relocate. It's a huge crapshoot. It really is. It's fine for young single people and people with no kids, really.
Four last minutes. Anybody got a topic they want to close off the show with? 10, 9, 8. There's lots of people
something.
Here. What? I got nothing
sing
else to
something.
Talk about. I've already talked for an hour without a guest, so I guess, you know, there's a lot of people here. I guess that's going to be it, though. Pauline, anything you'd like to say, parting words?
Oh, look, you've got to understand, Animal, it's 2:56 a.m.
Okay,
here.
I got to tell you, the last thing,
really
I take some sleeping pills. That's the only way to handle something like that. Everybody, thank you for coming. What? Yeah, take some sleeping pills. Hard enough. I'll see you. Where's my music? Something next week.